Welcome back, D-Line. I'm Joe Torti. D has been abducted and needs to put out a message under duress, but can't call attention to the fact that she's putting out the SOS. So you're tweeting or texting or saying what, D?
There's no wine in the house.
That's a good one. I like that one. Now, of course, somebody reading too deep would be like, well, no kidding, D, you're in the house. You know?
No, anybody who knows me, that could never possibly happen.
You're usually stocked.
Well, yeah. You never know when companies come over, friends, family.
Are you a red wine or a white wine person?
Depends on the time of year.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. I do like red wine, but in the summer, sometimes you want to go to a rosé. It's a little more refreshing.
Mm-hmm. All the women in my life, and I think it's because they spend a lot of time with each other, have all turned into the same person wine taste, and it's all one specific brand of Chardonnay.
Are you serious?
One bottle.
One bottle?
And there are, like, between all of our...
It's not La Crema,
houses,
is it?
It's not. Okay. No. It's Kendall Jackson.
What they. I had a bottle open this week.
You get along just fine with them.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
It's probably, like, between the three houses where all the women live, like, 30 bottles just at any time, because they might hang out with each other, and who knows what happens.
You gotta have some.
There's no wine in the house. That's how you know to come and find D. All right, Josh, you're up, buddy. What have we got here? You've been abducted.
I feel like you're putting a lot of pressure on me.
I don't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
Honestly, a lot of people that know me in the sports realm know my opinion on Peyton Manning, and if I were to come out and say Peyton Manning was an overrated quarterback.
That's how people would be like, something's up with Josh.
Because I'm the guy that calls Peyton Manning the GOAT.
Peyton Manning is the GOAT, period?
The GOAT, period.
Okay, show your work. How come?
We don't have enough time for that right now. But
Spark notes.
What I'll say is I think a lot of people fell into the Tom Brady trap of Tom Brady's first three Super Bowls. We want to start up the Marina Montana argument again.
Okay.
Before Brady was elite, we threw him right next to Peyton Manning. So when he got the weapons in 2007, which I don't think he would have been able to even perform with early in his career,
okay,
all of a sudden now he has the stats and the Super Bowls. So he kind of got tricked into that.
Okay.
And also it kind of helps that Bill Belichick, who's probably the greatest coach, player, personnel guy in the history of professional sports.
That's true. Tony Dungy sucked. He was a bad coach, right?
Except for you can't take away from a guy just because he had a great coach. You can't take away from
I certainly can. If we're going to talk who's the better quarterback, I have to take that away. We can't just say, okay, let's dumb ourselves down and say Tom Brady was on the road taking on these elite defenses. He was taking on bottom five defenses with Indianapolis, whereas Peyton was asked to do a lot more against a lot more.
So what's your list look like if you were to put together, not necessarily in order, but
Brady's a close second.
Okay.
I will say it's Peyton, Brady, and then that's where I'll probably slide Marino in at three.
Okay.
And I'd say it gets a little bit foggier there because I want to see a little more of Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers needs a little bit more, and he's probably going to be moving up that list.
Fascinating. That's a very different list than mine. That's super interesting. Okay.
And
you look thoughtful, too.
Well, no, I'm thinking that Josh, but he's explained why the winning of Super Bowls does not factor in as great as what other people think that factors in.
Right.
If you're naming the GOATs QB-wise.
Right, and I would just quick say to that I think the quarterback is by far the most important player on a Super Bowl team, obviously.
Sure.
But I don't think any quarterback's been close to 50% of the reason why they won a Super Bowl, and there's a huge difference with that.
Right, well, and it's interesting, too, about Peyton Manning, and it's something that I mark against him, I probably shouldn't, is that the second Super Bowl that they won despite Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
he was a liability.
A factor, exactly.
So he's been on both sides. Like, he was the reason that he won it against the Bears, that they won it against the Bears. And then
he's the reason that they, well, in spite of him, they still won it.
I agree.
Like I said, Brady's number two for me. This isn't a Tom Brady stinks argument or anything
right.
like that. So let's not get that twisted. But I think Tom Brady was only elite for two of his Super Bowls.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Mm.
There are people that would wonder, where Drew Brees fits into this. because of all of his numbers. There are people that ask, you know, where I don't, because this is not a guy that I love, but there are people that ask about where Brett Favre fits in this conversation. I've always had Peyton and Breeze in second tier.
Joe Montana wasn't
Never got mentioned. And the other one that is
Steve Young never got mentioned.
Always on my list. Lower than four is Johnny Unitas for me every single time.
Well, Josh might claim he was too young.
Josh and I are the same age.
Yeah,
so
all right.
With Unitas, I would always be fascinated to see what Unitas could have done in today's game. Same thing with Marino. Marino would just massacre in today's game.
And he had Marino high.
Yeah, number three, which
right?
is very,
yeah,
very
yeah.
high. That's yeah. nice. And then obviously Elway is another one to bring
in. Oh, yeah. And the thing I love about Elway, he walked off into the sunshine or whatever you want to say, a winner, and never thought twice about looking back.
Yeah, coming back. Then you look at how
no, he did come back in management.
Well, and that hasn't been as pretty, right? But
no.
You're right. Looking at the Favre years and how the Favre years ended and how, say, the McNabb years ended, it takes some of the shine off of their careers. I think there's
not
something
to be said
for that.
Not knowing when to leave the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there is something to be said for that in, like, if you're 39-year-old Michael Jordan, to go back to somebody that we were talking about for the Wizards, and you can still put up 20 points in an NBA game, that's like, it's kind of remarkable that you can do that when there are people that are grinding their entire lives that can't do that when they're 22 years old.
Right.
But, I'd always rather...
Though I always say, when Jordan came back with the Wizards, he wasn't Jordan.
Well, of course, that's what is good enough... Or do you need to live up to your standard? That's
why
I've
been the greatest to ever play the game.
That's why I love.
You can't come back and look like that.
I love Kobe for coming and saying, "I'm never going to be a 15 point per game scorer. As soon as I can't be me, I'm done." I always thought that was
awesome.
And
he was actually pretty old when he still walked away.
That's the truth. That is the truth. We'll have to put together the list, but it's an interesting list. Where do you put Breeze in your tier list? Seeing like the top 20.
I don't think I've ever gone through 20 where I've gotten far into it. But the one thing against Breeze definitely has been his lack of putting up the same numbers when he goes on the road.
Remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing when you go, oh, yeah, he'll be playing against Tampa Bay in Florida conditions, and all of a sudden they're scoring 20 less points.
Mm.
Yeah, right. And that's, well, I guess conditions even in Tampa, then it's the heat. You know, he's played in nothing but controlled.
Yeah, he's played in the Superdome.
Yeah.
The Georgia Bowl. Like, the Georgia Dome. Georgia Bowl. Georgia Dome.
They probably had a bowl in
there.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of controlled conditions for Drew Brees. I'm always curious.
Does Kurt Warner get any love on anybody's list at somewhere down the line?
I mean, when you consider what you did compressed into a very brief period of time.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
You'd have to get some kind of respect
well,
there.
Well, when you said 20, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Like, would a Kurt Warner crack the top 20?
I'd have to think about that.
Now, Troy Aikman would have to, right? Or no?
The top 20 quarterbacks of all, I mean, that's a guy who's a winner. Top 20 of all time.
He had Michael Irvin.
All right, I'll make my list. I'll make my
20
list.
I've never heard of any. He said 20. I never heard of anybody say top 20 quarterbacks.
It's the most important position
in
football.
It is. It's
right?
A great thing. I never heard us go down that far.
Well, it's just not hard. It's not hard to go down that, like, cuz we haven't mentioned Sammy Baugh, we haven't mentioned Bart Starr, we haven't mentioned Sid Luckman. We haven't mentioned like a lot of people from, you know, way back that it would certainly be included on a lot of lists, I would think.
Yeah. Sure.
Let's go to Bill in Newtown Square next on The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how's it going?
Going great. How are you?
Good. I couldn't help it. You know, when you talk about Peyton and Brady, I always get my interest because I grew up a huge Peyton fan.
Okay.
And I think, like, the one thing about Brady and the one thing about Peyton, Brady is, it's kind of hard to, you know, argue numbers on what he's done. He's the greatest sports career ever. But the guy has been, every game of his life, put in a position to win by himself, with the team around him, and the great coaching. And no, he's like the opposite of Aaron Rodgers, where you look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, we try to bail his team out. Well, Brady and his team is just he's a cog, a great cog, but he's a cog on the best team ever.
What about the fact that there's been so much like turnover on those teams, you know?
Well, and there's a ton of turnover, but every year that team is the least amount of penalized. That team is always the best coach, always a great defense. I mean, he doesn't stink, but I mean, he gets help.
Mm. All right, so let me ask you a question. If you put another quarterback in where Brady is, with everything else staying the same, would somebody else accomplish what he's accomplished? If it's
so
just,
you think Peyton Manning wouldn't go to 8 Super Bowls if he had Bill Belichick his whole career? I think you'd be crazy to say that. I would
push back on you, Bill, because wasn't a hallmark of Peyton Manning ability to freelance and make his own decisions and things like that, whereas you don't really see that a ton with Brady, right? It's like it's playing into and buying into the system.
Well, but I guess just more of outside of defensive scheme. When you're talking about just like how all 53 men are coached and coached to almost perfection,
I see.
The Patriots are. But at the same time, Peyton took four different head coaches and two different teams to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And now anyone's going to come close to doing that. I mean, that's something that doesn't get enough respect when you talk about Peyton. Four different head coaches.
Bill, wait, thanks for the phone call. Yeah,
four different head coaches to the Super Bowl?
No.
What's he saying?
Peyton had four different head coaches.
Yeah, because he went to only two.
Right, yeah.
And so the one was with Tony Dungy.
He
went to four?
Yeah, he lost one when he was with the Colts to the Saints, and they lost one to the Seahawks when he was with the Broncos.
Got it.
So, but it was it four different head coaches too? My goodness, that might be true.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry. I've got to give you credit.
Yeah, that's
at least three. Yeah,
that's what I thought he said.
Jim Kelly, we haven't talked about.
Jim Kelly.
Len Dawson, we haven't talked about. We haven't talked about anybody modern, right? We haven't talked about Ben Roethlisberger. We haven't talked about Philip Rivers. Where those guys fit.
Well, Philip would be behind Drew Brees, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think Roethlisberger would be behind Brees, too. I'm not a big Matt Ryan fan. People are super excited to put him in the top 20. Warren Moon gets my vote for somebody who's in the top 20. Kurt Warner, to your point, D, certainly in the top 20.
Right.
Fran Tarkenton, haven't mentioned. Terry Bradshaw, haven't mentioned.
How about like a Roger Staubach? I don't know.
Absolutely.
See, with my criteria, I'm out on Bradshaw.
Are you?
Yes.
Because of the system around, the coaching, numbers.
Exactly. I take away a little bit of the championships. I think we elevate people who have done great things that haven't had great pieces around them as much. And I think Bradshaw definitely benefited from some great teams.
That's the truth. Dan Fouts. It's not hard to get to 20. We could do it if we tried. Let's go to Jack next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jack?
Hello.
Hi.
I have a quarterback for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
When he graduated from college, he played 1 year of professional basketball with the Boston Celtics, and they won the championship. He then played professional football for 10 years, and every year took his team to the championship, and I think he won 6 or 7 of those 10 years. Who is it?
Let's see. He played for the Boston Celtics.
Celtics 1 year, and they won the championship, and then he played professional football for 10 years. Then later in his career, he was a coach for the Washington Redskins.
I don't think
In 10 years, he took his team to the championship. All 10 years, he played professional football, and either 6 or 7 of them, they won the championship.
I don't think I have this one. Do you have this one?
What era was that?
In the 40s into the 50s.
40s into the 50s. Whoa. I would have
none. I'll give you another hint. He later was the coach and athletic director at the, bear with me, Coast Guard Academy. I think it was the Coast Guard Academy.
You got me.
Who is it?
Otto Graham.
Otto Graham's a great one.
Brown.
That's a great one. I don't even think I knew that Otto Graham played for the Celtics. That's good stuff, Jack.
Yeah. Cleveland Browns from 46 to 1955.
There you go.
Man, yeah. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it, man. Otto Graham. Look, as far as I'm concerned, I know that you're not throwing a ton, right? You're completing like 65% of your passes in 1953.
So
you deserve some credit.
Did you Google like top 20 all time?
No, let me do that. Let's see.
Well, I'm just going to tell you that Josh's Peyton is number three all time.
Number three all time.
Yeah. That well, they have Tom.
All right, so they've got Brady. They've got Brady and Montana. Like that's the two that they go.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And who else is in that?
Your boy Johnny Unitas is. I think he was four.
Okay. All right.
And that Otto Graham was actually five.
Wow. All right. Okay. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Otto Graham. There's a.
I feel like this must have been done by the NFL Network at some point. Correct.
It feels like it has to.
It should. I mean, I didn't see it come up, but if... Oh, actually, it is. What I'm looking at is the NFL did this list for the 100th anniversary.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm looking at this top 25 quarterbacks of all time.
Drew Brees is six on this one.
Okay, I'm looking at the same thing as you.
Yeah, Marino is seven, Staubach eight.
Roger Staubach, yeah. Probably really, really good. Better than Elway?
Well, Elway's right after him.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Oh, man. That's tough for me. So I guess that's what part of my problem, right? Is that you get to this tier of guys, right? And I watch Aaron Rodgers play, and my jaw's just on the floor every time I watch it. How does Aaron Rodgers stack up to a guy who has similar physical tools in John Elway? And Roger Staubach is one of the best winners, period, ever. Yeah, like, how in the world do you possibly separate those guys? Understanding that Elway's bigger than Rodgers.
It's difficult, but, I mean, you got to look at the length of that guy at his peak, because I think Aaron Rodgers even has a higher peak than we saw out of John Elway based on what the game is and emphasized around the quarterback. But you just need more years. You need a little bit more to build up that resume, I guess.
I see they have Rodgers 10.
Yeah.
So 10-9-8 is Rodgers, Elway, Staubach, according to this list.
I didn't know Staubach. This is interesting that he served in the Navy for 4 years, including a tour of Vietnam upon graduating from the academy. And he was the ultimate franchise representative. Huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he finished with a record of 85-29.
80. That's what I mean. That is a dude who just comes in, leads men, and wins. That's amazing.
Wow.
They got Troy Aikman 14th on this list.
Yep.
How do I compare a guy like Troy Aikman to number 15, Steve Young? My gut tells me that I like Steve Young's game more than I like Troy Aikman's game.
How about this? Staubach's 746 winning percentage ranks second all-time among quarterbacks with... at least 100 starts. I know you, the other guy.
We know who it is.
Yeah.
But it's remarkable that is the guy whose record he broke, considering the era that Staubach played and how many quarterbacks have played since then. Sid Luckman obviously played from 39 to 50, so I never saw him. But people who have talked to me about Sid Luckman say that he kept two Hall of Famers on the bench, which is kind of impressive.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So that's something. And then Terry Bradshaw, Russell Wilson, number 18. I don't know if I'd buy Russell Wilson at number 18. He's ahead of Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger is the number 19 of all time.
Well, at that point, you're getting down to Kurt Warner did make this list, by the way.
20. He made it. There you go.
Yeah. Jim Kelly. He always gets bumped to the end because he couldn't get a W, but four consecutive
Super Bowl appearances. Yeah. That is hard to do.
I think. Right?
I look
four
at
in a row?
Guys who get penalized by not winning.
I know.
It's so really the problem that I have with the Montana truthers is still the top, where they're like, oh, Montana's not losing Super Bowls and Brady is. Like that's where I have a problem. I'm like, well, Brady's making it to more. If we're going to count that rings are all that matter, you can't penalize the guys for getting there and then just not being able to finish it off.
Right.
What are we going to say? I'm sorry, D.
That Norm Van Brocken got on there.
Yeah, number tied for 25.
Yes, so that's the only Eagles representation, correct?
Believe so, yeah. Donovan McNabb is
he had
probably the best. so far. Ron Jaworski, Randall Cunningham, kind of next.
Second tier to him.
I mean, where does Norm Van Brocklin rank relative to McNabb? You know what I mean? How do you compare those eras?
Well, that's,
you know?
That's too distant.
That is a why. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm fascinated by this conversation. I'm also fascinated.
And this all started because it's his SOS if he's been abducted by aliens.
Yeah, about Peyton Manning. See, Josh, you sent us down this road. I'm always fascinated by this. And before we get things back on the rails, we always throw around who is a Hall of Famer and who is not a Hall of Famer for football. Like pro football, oh, that guy's a Hall of Famer. That guy's easy in. That guy's easy in. The Hall of Famers by position at quarterback, it's like actually amazing how few quarterbacks there actually are in the Hall of Fame, especially when we consider how many are going to get in from this generation. If you had to guess, D, and Josh, I'll take your guess too. How many quarterbacks do you think there are in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, wow. Well, how many people total are in the Hall of Fame? That would be a good starting point for me.
Okay.
Is it 500?
How many players are? It is definitely not 500 players.
I'll shoot from the hip because I know it's going to be a lower number than we think. I'll probably say like 26.
D?
He's saying 26.
That's
quarterbacks.
His guess. Well, so, and we'll go with like modern era, not the ones who were... Like back in the day, the wing T quarterbacks that are taking the ball and running it and stuff
I'll
like that.
I'll say 15.
15. Josh has it nailed at 26 quarterbacks. Mm.
But how many people are in the Hall of Fame?
Just eyeballing this.
Oh, it doesn't have a
it doesn't
number?
Have the, okay, the total
that's
number.
Fine.
I would say that it's less than 300.
Okay.
So that is, and that's including like coaches and administrators and contributors. There's one punter, no kickers. Hold on, we'll do this math. One punter, there's 30 defensive backs, that's 31. 30 linebackers, 61. Defensive linemen, there are 38, so we're at 99. Four kickers, 103. Offensive linemen, that's 149. Then there are two-way performers, 165. 174. I hate doing math. 201, 208.
326.
Okay. So there we go. 326.
That's with 26. So there's 300 at other positions, 26.
Including pre-modern era running backs and quarterbacks like Sammy Baugh and John Driscoll and Bill Dudley and those guys.
I bet you said there's one punter in there.
There is. Ray Guy is the Hall of Fame punter.
By the way, did you see where the Patriots, I could not believe their kicker who's out for the season. He's been there since nobody else has kicked for them since 2010.
When I saw how old Steven Goskowski was, I was like, I thought that he was still like in his fourth year or something like that, that he's like 26.
God.
It's crazy. He's been there forever.
Forever.
And so good.
And then they interviewed two old guys to replace him. Falbeth, I think, was the one guy's name, and Nugent.
They're bringing in the Nuge?
They brought in the Nuge. One of them's going to win it out. Nuge, I want to say he's made 200 and some field goals.
Okay, yes.
Nugent out of
Ohio
like
State.
250 out of 3-something, right? Like he's missed maybe 75?
You know why Mike Nugent is famous. He is the second-round kicker.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. They took him in the second round.
Wow.
Oh, man. Gotta love those Jets. 610-632-0975. That brings things back nicely to this Sunday's opponent. Thank you very much, Mike Nugent. It's D-Lineham and Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back. D-Line, I'm Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm seeing that we were talking about the Phillies earlier, D. I'm seeing that Clayton Kershaw is getting benched in game one for the Dodgers, and I'm like, can you imagine having an embarrassment of pitching riches such that you're like, Clayton, sit this one out.
Yeah, can you wait your turn?
We're going to let Walker handle this one. That is just insane. My goodness. So the baseball, like this is what makes me uncomfortable and what makes me sad this time of year, is that you're watching the like, quote-unquote, real baseball teams, like, come and play now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I mean, actually, after last night's game, this was boring.
Yeah.
The Rays and the
Athletics game, yeah. That was a bummer. 5-1.
Yep.
And then I saw all of the tweets last night. I'm sure that you saw these too, D. The playoffs are just better when Ryan Braun is not in them anymore. Come on, man. It's tough. But yes, so we saw a lot of things we were talking about, obviously, with the Jets, Mike Nugent, bringing us back to the Jets. The Jets are all banged up as well, just like the Eagles are. The problem is that they're not really helping out in terms of getting their healthy guys rolling either. Le'Veon Bell, according to Adam Gase, has been outstanding. But remember, and I'm sure that this is something that is going to come up over the course of the season, Le'Veon Bell has been kind of struggling, and that was like the big bone of contention between the GM and Adam Gase, was whether you were supposed to get Le'Veon Bell to begin with. Adam Gase didn't want him, and now he's here. They're trying to make it work. You're not seeing a whole lot of those bright spots that we were talking about. And the problem is that when you're looking at the Eagles' defense, yeah, they can be passed on, but the backs, the receiving backs, haven't really hurt them that much the way that they've hurt some other teams. You know, it's been the wide receivers that have gotten the Eagles.
Sure, sure.
Jets don't have those right now.
I just, when you look up and down that roster, there's not, I mean, Le'Veon Bell has the name.
Yes.
You know, Robbie Anderson, actually on one of the fantasy boards, it has matchups for wide receiver versus cornerback.
Defense, yeah.
Yeah, it says take Robbie Anderson.
Oh, man.
Who's had a struggling year, the 10 for 115 and no touchdowns, and they're saying, you know, this is his game to break it out. And I don't play fantasy, but I guess people who do have gotten big numbers against the Eagles.
Well, I mean,
their wide receivers.
You had Devontae Adams, who hadn't done anything all season. Julio Jones. Both of those guys had big games against the Eagles.
Yep. Who with the Lions?
Oh, Kenny Galladay had a big day against the Eagles.
Oh, and the McLaurin guy with the...
Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, with Washington.
4 for 4.
Yeah. And I'm not even fantasy. I was just reading I don't even know what those numbers mean because I'm not a fantasy person, but clearly it was evident.
And typically the way that they do those matchup setups is that this team has allowed the most points to wide receivers. This team has allowed the 32nd most points to wide receivers.
There you go.
And the Eagles seem to be, you know, bring us your ace wide receivers, because as much as we're going to shut down your lead backs, your ace wide receivers are going to do just fine against us.
Right.
Rasul Douglas versus Robbie Anderson is not a matchup that I'm super excited about, but I don't know that I have faith in Luke Falk's ability
to get him the ball,
take advantage of it consistently enough for the Eagles to lose.
And that, yep.
I think that he could definitely get it to him. Yeah, I think the idea that people come into the NFL and if you're a third string quarterback, you can't pass, I think that that's kind of silly.
I think if you're in the NFL as a quarterback, you clearly can pass.
I agree.
It's a matter of, have you had any timing-wise?
Right.
Practice enough for timing.
Can you read the defenses?
Can you read the defenses? And do you have enough time from your line?
Right. That's the truth.
You know? I mean, generally speaking, if your quarterback's hurt, maybe it's because he took too many hits.
Yeah. A lot of times it's not
mono.
Exactly. Oh, I can't believe that we walked perfectly into that. That was just gorgeous. One of the backup quarterbacks who has checked in, Gardner Minshew, the phenomenon, Uncle Rico. He can throw football over them, their mountains.
How old is he? He looks like he's about 40, but I know he's not.
Okay, how old do you actually think that he is?
That's a look of somebody who, first of all, lived in the 70s, right?
He looks like he should be an anchor man on the sports
he
report.
He does.
He's 23 years
old. Oh, my goodness. He's 23?
Yes, 23.
He must, when he was 21, got carded a lot and had to do something with his look so he wouldn't get carded.
Maybe that's it. He was born one year after Tom Brady's shoulder pads. 1996. So there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom Brady can literally look at him and be like, I've got shoulder pads older than you.
They did that. There's five guys on his team that are younger than his shoulder pads.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's just great stuff.
But anyhow, there have to be a reason that you want that look if you're Minshew.
Do you ever just think that, like, people are different? And he's like, I want to look like I'm on Super Troopers. You know what I mean? Like, I want the mustache and the aviators and the bandana.
Who thinks that mustache looks good?
Is he married? I don't know.
23 seems young. Probably not.
Yeah, maybe not. The question that I've had, and apologies, D-Line, if I've asked you this already.
All right, let me hear.
How could you spend all that time evaluating Andre Dillard, regardless what you think of the mustache? How could you spend all that time evaluating Andre Dillard and be like, you know what, Clayton Thorson is way better than Gardner Minshew? Like, how could you possibly spend all that time evaluating the left tackle and not look for a second at who's throwing the ball and be like, this kid from Northwestern's going to be our other guy?
Wow.
How could you possibly do that?
That's a great point.
Right?
Yeah.
Just questions that I ask. Because if the Eagles, you know, hopefully Carson Wentz would be healthy, but in the event that he were ever to go down, the Eagles could take advantage of what the Jaguars are doing right now with Gardner Minshew, which is to say offering those ticket packages with the mustache and the headband and making people almost forget about Carson and take a little bit of the sting off of it a little bit. I don't think that this is going well for the Foles fans in Jacksonville. I don't think that he's doing anything to take the sting off.
It has made it interesting. I find it fascinating when these kind of things get legs of their own.
Yeah.
By the way, with the headband thing?
Yes.
Is that comparable to the one that, like, Bryce, I'm not the same
material?
But that, like, same kind, the big, is it a big one?
Oh yeah, it's the big one.
It's the big one, like they all are into right now.
This is going to show my age, but it's made out of, like, the book sock material, the stuff that you used to, like, put on your textbooks to protect them. What are you looking at me like that for? You've never seen those before?
I've never put something on a textbook to protect it.
Oh, man, Josh.
A lot of us immature kids would put it on our heads, too, at the end of the school year, and we all look like Batman or Catgirl.
What? So is it comparable to if I buy the hard copy at a bookstore, the sleeve?
No, it's something that you'd buy, and oftentimes they had, like, designs on them and stuff, but they're made out of, like, a stretchy, like nylon material.
Right. A nylon material.
And you could reuse them. You could, you know, wrap them over the book covers so they protected your books, and then...
So these were for your textbooks?
Yes, for your textbooks. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it looks like the Minshew headband's made out of...
I gotta see the Minshew headband,
similar,
for goodness sake.
Similar situation. There's a good picture on ESPN of it. I feel old now. I don't know when book socks became not a thing. They still sell them, apparently, at Office Depot and Amazon and stuff. Staples. All right. Okay. It's not completely dead. I'm not that old
and
yet.
And what would be the purpose of putting it on your head?
Josh, you got this one?
Just being a stupid 12-year-old.
There you go. Just to look like Batman or Catwoman.
Oh, my.
Okay. 610-632-0975. I don't know how we're possibly going to top this hour of radio, but we're going to give it a shot.
It is Torty and Lynam after dark.
It is. Yeah, that's what it is. It's after dark. We should have known the final segment of which is coming your way next. Hopefully no naked bike rides or anything like that. But you'll have to wait and see to find out when we return to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, D-Line. I'm Joe Torty, 97.5. The Fanatic, Josh Rabick, is producing this evening's program. Been a fun show. We've covered a lot of ground. We've covered not exactly the size that Jacksonville is in the United States, because that's, I mean, the largest city geographically that exists. But we've covered a lot. We've talked about the Eagles-Jets matchup, where we determined there's not a whole lot to be worried about there if they play up to their normal standard.
Yeah, I mean, even have a little of the momentum from the Packers game and you should be okay.
Should be all right.
They're a team that's not very good, and they are actually hurt in some key areas, including the quarterback.
Yes, and obviously we'll be keeping a close eye on that. Even if it's Sam Darnold's first return game, that's still a net positive, I think, for the Eagles.
Joe, there's no way I would put a guy who hasn't even, first of all, no conditioning yet, not right. able to lift weights as of Wednesday.
Yeah.
And not allowed any contact. I'm not throwing him out there on Sunday.
To the Wolves.
No, he's my franchise quarterback. No.
Yeah, it seems irresponsible to do that.
By the way, can I just tell you that Gardner Minshew, am I even saying it right at this point?
Minshew.
Yeah. When he was at Washington State, they actually had like the whole dress up like Gardner at his high school and middle school back in Brandon, Mississippi. And then it spread to the entire state of Mississippi.
Wow.
That while he was playing at Washington State. So Jacksonville's actually copycat.
Late to this party.
They're plagiarizing the whole Gardner phenomenon.
Oh, that's a shame.
And it
that
was.
Dude is the coolest ever.
And it was and they took the same thing. They say they wore the aviators, the mustache, the jorts, the whole thing.
So they really went for it. Well, I hope that they don't look and think, oh wow, we're getting gypped here because this was our idea first. Now Jacksonville's making a buck off of this.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if Gardner Minshew's getting involved in this too. You know what I mean? As long as we're talking about, but we haven't really in this show. We could have talked about people being able to profit off of their likenesses and stuff like that.
Right. I tried to talk about that last night on a serious note.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's worth it to explore. Unfortunately,
we're out of time on that one.
Almost.
Yeah.
Substantial conversation about the Phillies and what the Phillies should do here in the offseason.
Now it's going to be another day. No word on that.
The reports are that we might not hear anything one way or the other for another week. We speculated ever. They might not ever tell you anything. Gabe Kapler's contract might quietly expire and then you just move on.
I said the next thing you might hear from the Phillies is whenever they actually do sign a new person, a new body.
God willing, one day that they will. And of course, we also got in some Sixers basketball talk as well. Somehow we didn't really mention the Flyers too much. But
they open up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Friday,
yes. Friday.
I remember because I drink.
Best of luck to Coatsy and Timmy to remember those things on Friday. It's going to be quite the environment. And I think drinks should abound if you want to look for them in that part of the world. Like, you should be okay out that way.
I once actually have a good Coatsy story real quick.
Of course.
Every Coatsy story is Flyers, good. Exactly. I covered Flyers training camp one year, the one that was in Peterborough, Canada.
Yes.
And Roger Nielsen, rest his soul, was the coach then. And I was the only TV person who went to cover that because stations weren't going to send anybody to Peterborough. So anyhow, I'm the only one up there and it's a bunch of guys, you know, Coatsy, Ron Ryan, Bobby Clark, you know,
uh-huh.
basically. And D.
And D.
And D. So we go out to dinner. Nice place in the nice town of Peterborough. And Coatsy says, we'll have your finest wine. And the girl says, absolutely. She comes over. It's like one of those gallons. Plops it in the middle of the table, screws off the top, and starts to pour the drinks. So, and these guys always loved their wine, right?
Okay,
and they were so offended, like, what is this? So years go by, and now screw cap red wines,
they're in vogue
any
now.
Wines,
yeah.
are in vogue. And I say to Coatsy, always says to me, man, were we ahead of our time up there in Peterborough.
That's awesome.
Off the cap.
There you go. With the full wine skin. There you go.
And that's all attached. We'll tie it all back. There's no wine in the house.
It's the SOS from D. Lineham. There's no wine in the house. It is time. We have arrived, and we actually have saved one of the craziest things for right now. The often imitated, never duplicated, world famous, one, the only, one more thing.
But there is one more thing.
Deputy Robert Pounds in Collier County thought he was making a routine traffic stop on Tuesday at 4 a.m. when he saw a car going 15 miles per hour over the speed limit. As Pounds approached the car, the driver calmly told him he understood why he stopped him, but he had a good reason. Officer, you have the right to stop me. I'm not even going to lie. Jean-Louis Wilfred can be heard telling Pounds in the dash camera footage, we have a baby coming out. His wife, Fabienne Gorget, can be heard screaming from the passenger seat. Look, look, Wilfred says. Pounds could literally see the baby's head crowning. The deputy called for backup and an ambulance, ran back to his patrol car, got a pair of latex gloves and a fresh blanket, and delivered the baby almost immediately. Says, congratulations, you have a baby girl.
Did he give him the ticket still?
No, no ticket at all. That is a glorious thing. Pounds has three children. Has been in the delivery room before, never on the receiving end, he said. It happened so quickly. I would say probably not for Fabienne. It didn't happen that quickly. Pounds said the training he received as a sheriff's office deputy prepared him for the delivery. Blah, blah, blah. At first, Pounds, and this is what I thought. Thought Wilfred was just trying to get out of a speeding ticket. You'd be surprised. There are several excuses that you get for stopping somebody for speeding. This one was a pretty reasonable excuse. What?
Yeah, I would say yes, reasonable. And I would agree. Fabian would not say it happened very quickly.
Very quickly at all. Jeez. I'm impressed by this. I don't know what your instinct would be in that situation. I would think that some people would just, like, freeze. Some people would be like, oh, there's definitely a baby here. And have the presence of mind to not send them on their way and to be like, no, this is happening right now. It's time to get this done right now.
I think when you see the head... I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's something it's you see on a TV show. Someone who's a police officer / lawyer / delivers a baby.
Yeah.
Now, an important question, and this I would never ask this question, except I'm a father, Dia, and you're a mother.
Correct.
What happens in the next 5 minutes? After the baby, then what? You have this baby in a car with no car seat that's going to hold an infant baby. What do you do?
You said the ambulance was coming.
The ambulance is coming. Okay, yeah, so they had to get everybody.
Because you also would like to cut the umbilical cord, too.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise, we're attached.
Things hanging out together for a long time.
Yeah,
saw that, and I thought that was interesting. Normally, it's Florida man does something stupid. This is pretty cool in Collier County. So good. That's like Naples area.
I'm kind of glad he is a father, because then that doesn't freak him out at all.
Right? Yeah. You know, I mean,
you've seen plenty of things.
Exactly. Yeah. Although he said he'd. He said the receiving end. I don't know if he'd ever been on the business end, but I feel like that would freak out a lot of people. I feel like that's something that, especially if your first thought is this person's trying to get out of a speeding ticket to, oh my gosh, there's a head. I feel like that would be a
and
be
how the
people.
Man was so calm when he said, officer, I'm not going to deny I was speeding, but there's a very good reason.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Okay. D, have you ever legitimately or illegitimately gotten out of a speeding ticket for an excuse or a reason that way? Or are you not a speeder?
I've gotten two speeding tickets in my life.
Okay.
And they were 2 weeks apart. the week after I got my license.
Really?
I thought I was going to get my license taken away by my parents. Yeah, I was 17. I didn't get my driver's license until I was 17. I was in Portland, Oregon, and it was, you know, a 25-mile-an-hour zone. I said, why do they have those?
That doesn't exist.
So, yeah, I got two in like 3 weeks' time, and those are the only two in my entire life.
I had a trash truck with a car once my senior year, but unfortunately we're out of time, and that's a story for another day. D-Lineham, thank you very much for all of your hard work today. Really appreciate
it. Very fun. Tordy and Lineham after dark.
After dark is always the time when you've got to watch out. All of our callers and tweeters, thank you very much. Josh Rabick, outstanding job. Thank you.
You got it, dude.
For D Lineham, Joe Tordy, we will be back on the airwaves. I am off tomorrow. So are you.
So right? Am I. Yep. I'm back on Saturday at the Blue White game down in Wilmington, Delaware for the Sixers scrimmage.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're back Friday night.
Friday night. That's exactly right. And then Saturday morning for this week in pro football. Until then, have a great night, everybody. We're on a 5-hour break. The Fanatic at 5 is coming up right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.